Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Folks, I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Father Brian McWeeny and the church and Rabbi Potashnik and the synagogues all across the world. We want all our friends all over the globe to have this be your best year ever.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into Joyce Barry and Friends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is joycebarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever. Welcome to the show today. We have a very important topic with a very important guest to help us with this topic. The world in crisis. What do we have to be thankful for? We ask that of ourselves, especially this week, the week of Thanksgiving. Personal crisis, domestic and global crisis. What do we have to be thankful for? We ask Father Brian McWeeny, a priest of the Archdiocese of New York. He is the Director of Ecumenical Affairs and Interreligious Activities. As you know, folks, there are countless personal challenges that people are faced with, like health issues, financial problems, and struggles just to survive
Worse yet, across the globe, people fear for their lives. Many countries are on high alert. Life is scary and stressful. We need to keep the faith. Join together in prayer and pray for inner peace and world peace. We must not overlook what we have to be thankful for. Father Brian will inspire you to always keep the faith, even in your darkest moments. Welcome to the show, Father Brian. I am always honored to have you join us.
It's good to be with you very much, Joyce.
And this is a tough topic to take on. How does one get to stay thankful and focus on the good in our lives when all around us there's so much to be stressed out and be scared about?
That's true. It's a difficult thing to do, especially if one has experienced, for example, in the last 12 months, you know, maybe some personal losses, you know, in terms of the death of a loved one or whatever. And yet, life is a two-sided coin. When we look at someone that we've lost, how many years did we have them with us to comfort us, to strengthen us, to serve as a good example of how to live one's life? So, you know, we have to always assume the positive. Because one of the things, in order to have a spirit of thanksgiving, one has to have faith. Because thanksgiving is an act in which we're saying to someone else, maybe a human being, maybe to God, I am grateful to you because you have helped me. And I think that's a very important understanding, that none of us are by ourselves. All of us are in the company of another who has supported us, whether we're speaking of the divine in our life or of the companionship of a loved one.
You know, you made a very important point. Sometimes it's hard to focus on that point because of the loss of someone near and dear to us is such a difficult thing to cope with, to deal with. And what we need to do is to focus on all the good they've done in our lives, all the happy moments we shared. And that is something to be grateful for, because each day is a gift and we never know how long we will have that gift with any human being.
As a member of the Jewish community, I have been in the presence of many who will mention a person who has gone to God, and they'll say, of happy memory. Will they not?
Yes. When people get up at those services, they do reflect on that.
Yeah, and that's what Thanksgiving is all about, remembering somebody happily for what they gave to the world and to us.
I came across this on the internet. It was by my absolute favorite author, Anonymous, because Anonymous has done so much across the world. But I found that it had an interesting take that I want to share with you, Father, and the people listening. And this was an email from God to you, reference life. This is God. Today I will be handling all your problems for you. I do not need your help, so have a nice day. I love you. And remember, if life happens to deliver a situation to you that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it yourself. Kindly put it in the SFGTD, something for God to do box. I will get to it in my time. All situations will be resolved, but in my time, not yours. Once the matter is placed into the box, do not hold on to it by worrying about it. Instead, focus on all the wonderful things that are present in your life now. Should you desire to share this with friends, thank you. You may have touched their lives in ways you never know. Now you have a nice day, sign God. God has seen you struggling. God says it's over. A blessing is coming your way. And that's the kind of thing I like to fill myself up with. What did you think of the something for God to do box?
I agree with it. In my office, I can't find it now because I've moved so often, but it was a letter that was sent to me by God. One of the parishioners gave me and said, do not think that you're totally involved in all these activities. That's my job.
Oh, so you're familiar with this concept.
Which is the same concept, yes.
Yes. It really touched my heart. That's good to remember in
the
darkest moments.
The reason how would one say it, means so much to us is because we know it's so true. You know, it's so true that we often think that we are solely responsible for everything happening in the world. And unfortunately, that means that sometimes moms and dads interfere with the lives of their children because they want to take away all the troubles and burdens. But sometimes children have to deal with those issues themselves.
Well, anything, when you feel you're in it by yourself, it's so much more difficult. We have support groups all over the world on the varying issues that, like addiction and health crises and all of that, how important it is to have people that support you or that may be going through what you did or already went through it. But to know in your heart that God is your partner, it makes the world easier to deal with.
It does. And there have been a great many studies done, especially recently, not by churches, but by scientific communities, that the person who has faith is more likely to be healthier than the person who does not. And they're not specifying what faith, but they're saying the person who has faith itself.
Yes, I've heard about those studies, and I truly believe it. I truly believe in the power of prayer, the power of God, the power of support in your life. I mean, whatever we can do to help ourselves get through anything, it's a good thing to do that rather than just give up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Father, you counsel people as part of course, I'm sure, probably on a daily basis. And when you see the struggles and the suffering, you know, besides the counsel of prayer and dealing with their faith, what kind of reassurance can you give them that things will turn out?
Well, you know, it's very different. Each person has a different burden, so you can't give the same advice to them. But what I would say to most is look at your own history and realize that you've had struggles in the past, and miraculously you think, wait a minute, I overcame that. Well, you overcame that because of God's presence. And this present crisis that you're enduring, you will overcome. So a lot of people, though, are beyond, how would one say it, advice at the time.
Yeah.
And so you must be patient with them and just walk with them and let them deal with their sorrow and their pain, but listening to them always. That's what the important thing is, not necessarily being always a giver of advice, but being a listener. And I think it helps a little bit when you know that someone is listening to you and trying to understand where you're coming from.
It's very important, and to let them know that you're really with them and that you're really listening. I mean, I can't recall a time you know, where the world was so scary. I mean, I've heard people say, I'm afraid to go to a mall. I mean, what is safe? The schools proven not to be safe, the churches. How do you survive day to day in the face of all of that?
Sometimes, Joyce, we look back at our history and we see everything is roses, okay? And we see our present day as horrendous. You are not as old as I am, but I am old enough to remember October 1962. We went to school that day. I was in high school. And in high school, we didn't know whether we'd be going to school the next day or whether we would even be alive, because it was the missile crisis of Cuba.
Oh,
and
wow.
All of us were concerned about what was going to happen to our world, not our country, the whole world. Now, that was a burden, but we lived through it. And
I believe President Kennedy was in office at the time, correct? President Kennedy was in office at the time.
That's correct. He was our young president, soon to be unfortunately assassinated by a real nut job. And it was very, very sad for us to live that period. So to think of the old days as being so much more horrendous than now is not really a accurate depiction of the reality of life. Each generation has had to deal with struggles. We struggled with the threat of communism. Certainly, many of our older people remember the terrible World War II, where many people were visited by the chaplain of the Army or Navy or Air Force to be told that they would never see their relatives again. So, I mean, yes, today is a challenge to live, but it has always been a challenge. And again, that's why I'm happy as a priest to be able to share with them my love of God and His love for all men and women.
Now, I'm a person of faith, I'm of the Jewish faith, but I'm also very highly spiritual. And one of the beliefs in the spiritual world is everything happens for a reason. So one of the things that keeps me going is to be in the question, what is the reason? Where is the light at the end of the tunnel? What is the good that will come out of this?
And I say to you, as a person of faith, I have no idea. And that's the problem. Yes, there's a reason for everything, but that doesn't mean we're going to know now or later in this generation or whenever whether or not we're going to know the reason. We firmly believe that there is a reason, but what it will be, who knows?
That is so, so true. I went through a personal crisis at the end of June, a near-death experience. Literally, I went in for a biopsy at a hospital and came home 4 months later. Three of those months, I was in rehab. In the first month, the first week, I was on a ventilator just to survive with pipes down my throat. 3 months to learn how to walk, how to talk, how to eat. It was really an unbelievable thing. And when I met with the doctors at the point where I was coherent, and I really wanted to know, why did this happen to me? To this day, with 50 pages of reports and tests, they have no idea why. So I've been living with that. It happened for a reason. what is the reason? And I do ask. I mean, I always knew my higher purpose was to make a difference in the world, and I used the radio show as a vehicle to do this. But it was so extraordinary what happened to me. It was so horrible. I keep saying, what is the reason? And you're so right. We may never know the reason, which is what the doctors say. So even when I take it to a higher level, I've been searching for answers.
Yes, you know, it's a very interesting life we live, and, you know, we cannot think that we depend upon ourselves. We depend on the strength that comes to us from our friendships, from our God, from the circumstances around us. And on this Thanksgiving, at this Thanksgiving time, we're looking at ways in which perhaps we might improve the lives of others, you know, and really try as best we can to serve other people.
Yes, and I believe that's something people should think about every day, but especially at this time, what you can do for someone else, random acts of kindness, helping someone in need, that alone gives you a reason to live, to feel good about yourself, to move forward, knowing that you've touched someone, that you've helped someone, that you've made a difference in someone's life.
Absolutely, and that's perhaps the gift of God that says to you, you know, I've given you life, now do something with it.
Yes, yes. And sometimes at the moment you may not know what it is. You just need to keep praying, meditating, and, you know, and you can ask for counsel as well. You just don't know where the answer will come from, but it is there deep down inside yourself.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
One of the things I've always prided myself on is I never discriminated. I never discriminated by faith, by color, by sexual orientation. I just love people. That's my nature. And I really believe that now more than ever, the world has to band together, forgetting all of those differences and be as one, as a human being, versus the bad guys out there. There are bad guys everywhere. So more than ever, you can't just stick to people of your color, of your faith, that think the way you do. As long as we're on the side of peace and harmony and love, we need to stick together.
What a boring world it would be if everyone thought the same way we do.
Yes. Good point.
But life is an adventure that we're invited to participate in, not just to be observers. And that's a truth my parents taught me. And I remember, you know, we didn't have much in life, but we were deprived of nothing. And my parents always taught me to be, you know, active in the community. My father was a bond bread salesman. He sold bond bread in those of your listeners who are from Brooklyn and Manhattan, you know, would know bond bread very well. And I always remember when anybody got out of a job, you know, had lost their job, somehow Dad was always around talking to somebody or trying to share some thoughts with some people that would get them a job. And I was always impressed by that because we weren't wealthy in the sense of monetary wealth, but we certainly were wealthy in the example that God gave to us and our parents.
Wealthy, you could be wealthy with love, wealthy in so many ways in healing. People think of wealth and equate it to financial terms, but you could be have a world of abundance of so many other things that truly matter.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
I was just thinking of people like you that put so much time, energy into helping other people. Sometimes, you know, and I know I work very hard at it as well, but I think of you could be the best car in the world and you're not going anywhere if you run out of gas. How do you keep yourself from not running out of gas?
Some of my parishioners would tell you that I have a lot of gas. I'm always talking. In fact, I have a picture with the Holy Father, and my sister said, "Sure, you know, even with the Holy Father, you can't keep your mouth shut." But I think it is because when I share myself with somebody, I always feel that I'm getting as much from them as they are giving to me. That's the reality of life, that when you share yourself with another, you are really benefiting yourself from their presence.
Yes, I know that it invigorates me to help someone, and I always say that if I've made a difference in one person's life in any show, that I got my job done. Anyone, anything over that, two or more people, it's a huge bonus. So just touching one person each and every day makes life worthwhile for me.
Oh, absolutely. And did not the Talmud say if you save the life of one person, you are saving the life of a million?
Yes, and that one person, I've read countless stories of what happened to that person. You say they went on to be a great surgeon, have a great invention, do something that profoundly affected countless others.
Yes, yeah. It's very, very true. Very, very true.
So it is a struggle. Nobody is saying it's easy. But it's really important, folks, that you keep the faith, that you take care of yourself. Like I said, if you run out of gas, it's like on the plane. They tell you to put the gas mask, the oxygen mask on yourself before your little baby. They don't want you putting it on your baby and you passing out. So they tell you, just take care of yourself and then help the people around you.
Yes, and that's a good lesson to be taught, because I think sometimes we think self-sacrifice to the extent where we are hurting ourselves is going to be helpful to others, and it's not. We have to make sure that our health is good, and both mentally and physically, because if we are not in a good frame of mind, then whatever good we do will often lead to resentment on our part.
True.
And that should be cared about, you know, because we don't want to do something and that ultimately will hurt our relationships with others.
The most important thing, you know, besides faith and your God, your belief system, is to really be in relationship with people and get to know different cultures. It's very enlightening when you learn about people from other walks of life, from other places around the world. You just get so much out of it. Things that you don't expect to get are all great bonuses when you find out about other people.
Yes, very much so.
And the trap is when people feel, well, if you're not like me, if you're not one of my kind, I have no reason to be in your world, and I don't want you in mine. There's so much of that to this day. It's just very sad.
Well, we just have to fight against it, you know, one day at a time, one person at a time, beginning, of course, with ourselves and our attitudes.
One day at a time, one person at a time, indeed. And what I would recommend, folks, is that you start your day by listening to our show to put you in that frame of mind, to be positive, to be upbeat. And in the wise words of our health guru, Beverly Nadler, here is why you should be listening to us every day.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we ask you to partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to JoyceBarryAndFriends.com, the homepage for this show. On the upper left is my picture, and right under that, if you click follow, you'll find out about every show, every guest, every topic. You need not miss any of them, because if you can't be with us when we are live at 11 a.m. Eastern every weekday, you can catch us in the archives every show 24/7. So we strongly suggest, for your own healing, peace of mind, amongst all the other things we just discussed, like prayer and faith and all of that, just listen to this show, because we want to do our part in making your world a better place. Father Brian, what do you do to keep positive every day? Are there any secrets besides the one that's an obvious one about faith in God?
Yes, well, I like to engage other people. I work in an office by myself during most of the day. I'm on the phone a lot. But then lunchtime is always a great joy to be able to be with some of my fellow priests and some of the laity who work here at the Cardinal Dolan's office. And we find a lot to chuckle about. We have different stories to tell each other, and I think that companionship is a great source of strength.
Agreed. One of the things that also will lighten your load, folks, in my humble opinion, is the power of forgiveness. And I wrote a poem that I believe will drive that point home. Here it is. Forgiveness, an original poem by yours truly, Joyce Barry. How do I forgive? How do I let go? You hurt me so bad, and you know this is so. How could you, I ask? I am reminded every day. The pain is so intense, it just won't go away. You really were cruel. What you did was obscene. You left me devastated. How could you be so mean? When truth be told, I knew that the healing key was to to forgive you, not for your sake, but for me. And so I forgive you, but I may never forget what you did to me that you don't even regret. Without this healing, which is so dramatic, forever my life would be totally traumatic. And so I forgive you, though what you did was a sin. I am forgiving you, so the healing can begin. Father, we know that the Bible has much to say about forgiveness. What is it you'd like to share about that and how important it is?
Well, I think the point that you brought out is very, very important, that when we maintain the injustices of our life, we're really not hurting the other individual, but we're hurting ourselves. We are keeping the pain alive in us. And so it's healthier just to dismiss that rather than to keep it on our mind and in our heart. And so it's important that we realize that forgiveness must be a part of our life. And certainly our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has declared from December the 8th on a year of mercy. And he's referring not just to divine mercy vis-a-vis sin or anything. He's also talking about how we should be interfacing with our brothers and sisters in a forgiving relationship. Because a lot of us are involved in having offended others, sometimes not even knowing that we've done so. And that's one of the things, you know, that we forget, that sometimes we have been hurt by people and they don't even know they have hurt us.
Yes. And a lot of people hold back in communicating their truth, and that, in fact, how they were hurt or devastated, for whatever reason, they don't speak up. I mean, I'm a firm believer in saying what's on your mind. I really do believe in that. So you can have your own healing. Otherwise, it's with you for years, oftentimes. I should have said, would have done, could have, would have, should have. It's just there. So to be in a healing mode, you want to communicate and deal with it.
Yes, very much so.
Do people still do a lot with the power of confession to a priest? I don't know many people that go to confession. Like years back, I thought it was more prevalent. What is your take on that?
Well, certainly what you say is true. They don't go the way they did years ago. But
right,
just
right.
Friday night, we had something in the cathedral of St. Patrick called Night Fever. And Night Fever is a evening of music and adoration and prayer and confession. And we had 16 priests hearing confessions. And most of the people who came to us that evening were fairly young people. Many of them, though, had not been to confession in a while. So that was a real blessing. So I would say to you, Joyce, you know, it's not something that people have done this years ago, but it's still, Cardinal Dolan has a great line. He says, I don't understand why people don't go to confession anymore. He said they confess to Oprah Winfrey, they confess to Jerry Springer.
That's a good point.
And yet they don't come to confession.
Yes, that's a very good point.
Yes.
Maybe they need their 15 minutes of fame on television. Who knows? But that is right on.
You know what they really need, though, is they do need confession. And that is a human need that people are forgetting about. You know, there is that need. I need to be forgiven. And it's something that people have to think about. You know,
absolutely.
We want to get it off our chest. We want to put it behind us. And the virtue of Catholic confession is, I'm saying it to a
Hello?
Man. Yes, I'm with you.
No, okay, it went silent for a moment. Did I hear you reference St. Patrick's Cathedral?
Yes, yes.
I just want to say, as a former New Yorker, first of all, that is one of the most beautiful churches anywhere in the world. Secondly, I had my own personal experience, which I will never forget, at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And it was for years, literally, I wanted to go to the Midnight Mass there. I always wanted to do that. And what kept me away was that I'm not a night person. I get very tired early evening, go to bed early, so I'm not a night person. I knew it would be a tremendous challenge to be out at midnight, but it was something I wanted to do so much. So I arranged to meet my Catholic friends there at midnight. I was stunned when I saw the lines to get in at midnight. Thousands of people there, thousands in the churches, for those who you don't know, is quite huge. So I can't even say. Do you know how many people the church holds, Father Brian?
Approximately 2,500.
2,500. Well, there were thousands there. Every seat was taken. And at any rate,
well,
we
sure
did
were,
get in
I'm
and
sure
we managed to.
Probably more
what?
Than 30. I'm sure there was more than 3,500 people there that night.
Oh, my God. People were standing. But at any rate, because it was something I would never forget, it left such an impression on me. First of all, the service was absolutely beautiful. It was amazing. And when I took my seat, and we managed to somehow sit up rather close, because we got there early enough, I wanted to like witness everything up close. And I turned to the person next to me, my friend, and I said, I'm probably the only Jewish person in here. And the guy behind me tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, no, lady, I'm Jewish. And that struck me so funny. And it really drove home the point, you don't have to be Catholic to appreciate Catholicism. You don't have to be Jewish to appreciate Judaism. You just have to be human.
That's correct. One of the things, though, about Midnight Mass that I have to tell you is that one of the steady people who goes to Midnight Mass at St. Patrick's is our mutual friend, Joe Potasnik. And often with him was the great mayor, Ed Koch. And so there were probably more Jews in the community than you would imagine.
Yes, I mean, I realized that here was a man right behind me. So it certainly drove home the point. But
yeah.
It was so awesome. As I said, the only reason it took me years to have that happen was I was exhausted early evening. But I just made up my mind it's something I had to do. So forgiveness, it does play a major role, as we shared. And I would say another major role is gratitude and being thankful. And here is a poem I wrote to drive that point home.
Being thankful, and this is submitted by Wynn. Be thankful that you don't already have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something, for it gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build your strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary, because it means you've made an effort. It is easy to be thankful for the good things. A life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are also thankful for the setbacks. Gratitude can turn a negative into a positive. Find a way to be thankful for your troubles, and they will become your blessings.
Folks, just to clarify, it's something I love sharing because that poem hits on so much, but I didn't write that one. It was by Wynne, W-Y-N-N-E. Father Brian, and as we are in this week of Thanksgiving, how important is it to be grateful for all that you have?
Absolutely, and we can say that on how many levels, Joyce. You know, you've gone through that terrible experience this year, and so you're grateful for the gift of life. And
yes.
And the fact that you'll be with us, please God, for many years to come. And
thank you.
We're also grateful to God for living in a country that is free. Yes, we have our problems. There's no doubt about it. But we do have our religious freedom that we must always seek to protect. And we have so many other gifts in the terms of our family and friends. If we really were serious about sitting down and looking at the reasons we should be grateful, that would take care of probably most of the Thanksgiving day, and nobody would eat dinner.
Yes, I understand. But sometimes it's hard to be focus on what you're thankful for. I know I had literally 3 months, almost 3.5 months in rehab, where every step was a major challenge. Every single thing I did was a challenge. And I just had to push myself and force myself through it and keep the faith. And even to this day, a lot of things are still difficult. So we do all have our personal crisis to deal with. If not us, someone in our family, a close friend, domestic issues, global issues. We just have to do whatever it takes to rise above it all.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Father, as we're starting to wind down here, what points would you like to leave our listeners with at this Thanksgiving week? What would you like to say as we wrap up here?
Well, looking at what the truth of what you're sharing, I would think that in these days we must make a decision to be grateful. That, as you say, sometimes it's very, very easy to just look at the negative aspects of our life and of our present history. But it's more important that we take the time and see what are those things that have happened to us for which we must be grateful. And so it is a decision. It's, you know, maybe, as you say, it doesn't come easily. So therefore, we have to really make an effort. But it's an effort well placed, because it's a true effort of our humanity that none of us can survive on our own.
Absolutely. My goodness, I think of how many people it took to keep me going. I bless the trainers in physical therapy. I'm still in outpatient therapy twice a week. They were amazing. And it was about trusting them that I wouldn't fall, that I could do what they asked me to do. I think of all the aides at the rehab center, the nurses at the center. It took tons of people just for one person to survive, with the meds, with everything else that goes on. So, I mean, until you're into something like this, you can't even begin to imagine that every single thing we take for granted, walking, moving, talking. I had no vocal cords for 5 weeks. I could only whisper. They didn't even know if I'd get back my vocal cords. So all these things that are just so natural and easy and comfortable when you're healthy, you have no concept of when it's taken away from you, what it's like to exist.
Yes, and you know, sometimes, as you say, the struggle is not only in enduring it, but as you're struggling to come back to where you once were, it's quite a struggle.
quite a struggle. Folks, you got a lot of information today to make your world a better place and to help others. And we ask you to really focus on what you got. And this is an original poem for that reason. If not now, when? Joyce, Barry, and Friends, the number one worldwide internet radio show. This poem, an original by yours truly, is entitled, If Not Now, When? We are giving you the education. We are giving you the information. We are giving you the motivation. We are giving you the inspiration. What you really need to do is to put this into application. Do you want a transformation? You must use your imagination. It might take some perspiration. It's all in the preparation. You must really be sure there is no procrastination. It helps to have a fascination and very strong determination. You want a positive demonstration, achieve success in the administration. It really is the time. Give each show your consideration. What is your aspiration? What do you need for stimulation? To get healthy and off that medication, to get wealthy, it's your destination. So make today the day for your participation. If you do, congratulations. If not now, when? So, Father Brian, what is it you'd like to share? Your words are always wise and with tremendous wisdom. So I'd like you to share with our folks whatever you want, message you want to leave them with this Thanksgiving week, and then conclude with one of your wonderful prayers.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity, Joyce, of being with you and with your listeners. It's a very, very beautiful week that we encounter. But the sad part is we have Thanksgiving Day. And I say sad because we should be a thankful people all the time. We should be grateful all the time for the many gifts that people give to us by their presence, by their support, by their strength that when we are weak. And so I ask Almighty God in my prayer this day, Heavenly Father, watch over each and every one of us. Watch over our families, especially those that are experiencing discord. Make them realize the strength that comes from being one with each other and one with you. We ask you to bless our country and protect it as it seeks to live out the commitment of our founders. And we do all these things praying for peace in our world and joy in our hearts. Thank you, Joyce.
Amen. That was so beautiful, as always. I love that in the moment you can take any situation and put the most beautiful prayer to it. And folks, this is a prayer I wrote for all of you. Make this the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May this be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make it the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. And one of the things, folks, besides being grateful, besides being forgiving, one of the things that I have high up on my list that's so important is inner peace and being happy. I think it's really important that you feel joy just that you're alive. And we are closing with our song that always puts a smile on many of our faces. So we ask you to smile along with us, sing along with us, and mash along with us. Here is the Joyce Barry Mash.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.
The world will change. Drexel University is designed to change with it. Drexel's unique design combines academic rigor with a transformative cooperative education program, positioning students and faculty alongside the experts tackling today's most complex issues. By constantly learning and evolving as the world moves forward, Drexel produces visionary leaders equipped to anticipate and address the challenges of the future. This is experiential education. Learn more at drexel.edu/ambition can't wait.